This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
And you are with Dano and Mason. In the studio live with us, we have Greta Bradman, a soprano. You don't say sopranoist, you say soprano.
Correct.
Originally from Adelaide, but currently resident in Melbourne, Australia. Welcome, Greta.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
I was just saying to you while we're listening to Paloma there that you are one busy lady this week. I've sort of, because I knew that we were going to have the opportunity to interview you, I sort of have been following you around. I'm also a fan of you on Classic, ABC Classic FM.
Woohoo, thank you.
And I was listening to you as I do in the morning, and I was so happy because my yacht race was cancelled this weekend because it was terribly windy. So I got to listen to the whole show.
Yacht race. Sounds like I should be interviewing you. Sounds amazing.
Right. Oh, it's much more fascinating. congratulations on the album, Home. It is, in fact, your second album.
Yeah, well, do you know what? It's actually my fourth, but it's my second for Decca Classics. So I'm super excited to be part of the Decca family and, yeah.
So obviously, Anna, you would have been asked this a million times, but why Home and what do these songs mean to you?
Yeah. Well, home to me, I have to say, it's where my family is and, you know, particularly where my kids are. Wherever they are feels like home, and same with friends and, you know, close friends and so forth. But the idea behind, I mean, it's actually probably, there are two things that come into it. One is I had surgery a couple of years ago and on my neck, so it wasn't on my voice, but it literally put to sleep all of the nerves down the right hand side of my neck, so I couldn't move my larynx, I couldn't talk properly, and couldn't sing at all. And even when I could talk, I still couldn't sing. And it was vaguely terrifying because I like synthesize everything through singing, you know. But I thought, as long as I can sing in the shower, I'll be okay. Except I suddenly realised I would really be sad about having not recorded this album, which I thought that I would record down the track. But it's, you know, it's those songs that remind me of growing up and certain instances with my family, and particularly, I suppose, you know, my grandparents and family members who are no longer around.
So, of course, you do have quite a famous surname. We were talking before, Bradman. And your grandfather and your grandmother were heavily into music. And you, I know I've seen the Australian Story piece on you from a couple of years ago, and you were talking quite a lot about the influence they had on your music. Can you talk a little bit about growing up in that sort of environment where there was a lot of music?
Yeah,
because my parents really
yeah.
just listened to James Last and, you know, whatever, it's just sort of pop jazz stuff that didn't really have any substance. So I'm sort of envious that you grew up in an environment where there was great music.
I think
music.
If you grow up with music of any sort, it's great because then you have that music, you know, to sort of take you through your life and connect you back to those times and whatever the sort of music, I think that's awesome.
Is it gramophone music? Would they have been on the gramophone? Oh, they play
for me,
live?
Yeah, like even actually when I was, you know, we're talking 80s, 90s here, we had a record player and, you know, my dad's old vinyl collection, which, you know, consisted of everything from Louis Armstrong, a lot of Bessie Smith, Billie Holiday and people like that, through to Joan Sutherland and Maria Callas and Pavarotti and some of the great conductors of the 20th century as well. And my dad's parents were very much, as you say, into music and loved playing the piano. My grandpa was really fond of playing the piano. My grandma had been a singer when she was younger, and my mum's dad was an amateur tenor as well, and so I used to pedal away. He had a pianola and I used to pedal away and he'd sing. And you know, memories like this is just absolute gold for me. I love them. I cherish them. And my nana, who passed away actually just last year after this record Home was made, got to hear the album, got to hear the album in raw form. And I'm so grateful for that.
When did you realise you had an amazing voice? Did you kind of know yourself but were unsure?
Well,
still
you
must,
sure,
because I'm not making this record. So you are. And I've heard you sing it.
If Decca calls you, call me.
That's right.
Yeah.
So did someone kind of say to you you've got an amazing voice, or did you know within yourself that maybe you've got a voice that is beautiful, or how did that come about as a young person?
You know, I don't know.
Yep.
I think it came out because literally everyone in my family sang. It was just something that we did. And I was in the choir at school and, you know, sang solos and so forth, but really didn't, you know, rate myself in any way a singer. I was a pianist and I would compose music and play other instruments as well. I think for me, singing is my vehicle for communicating.
Right.
And communicating to, you know, anyone, it doesn't matter what you believe, it doesn't matter where you come from, music is kind of this, you know, common denominator that we all share and we can all experience our own emotions and sort of, I guess, compute, you know, things that are going on for us in our lives through music. So for me, I think it was a realization during uni probably, and even later uni, not even early on, that I had this knack somehow, maybe, for communicating, or at least I loved communicating through music.
I love it that most people in the world call it a gift, but she's like, it's a knack. But you were studying music,
yeah,
classically, so you knew that you were a musician by then.
Do you know, yeah, I mean, when I did my undergrad music degree alongside a degree in psychology, and then I went on, did honours psych and a Master of Clinical Psych, and I had no inclination to sing whatsoever. I was going to keep it as a hobby and found that, in fact, I just couldn't let it go, basically.
I know you've talked in the past about some struggles during your teen years and, you know, some mental health issues and maybe bullying when you're at school. Do you see this as the singing as a therapeutic thing as well?
Yes. I think it was kind of complicated for me because, you know, when I was in my teens, it was sort of the only thing I felt like I could do.
Right.
And so in some ways I wanted to prove that I could do other stuff as well, just to myself, to no one else.
Yeah.
Or not even prove it, just find out if I could. So, yeah, it was something that meant a lot to me that I used as sort of a tool, I guess, to kind of get me through. But, yeah, I think definitely it can be used therapeutically.
Yeah.
Really,
and I guess
effectively.
Given you had that surgery last year and you couldn't sing for a while, maybe that, you know, did that kind of give you a hint that, you know, singing is really crucial to you and really important. And
yeah. In fact, the two things that have given me that really, that aha, oh my goodness, I can't believe how much this means to me moments would be having kids and the surgery. Having kids, all of a sudden it turned, that was the turning point for me. I mean, I had kids in my early 20s when I was still at uni, and all of a sudden music took on this new significance of, you know, actually it's really important in our lives. You know, it's something where I can sing and cherish that and at the same time contribute, you know, in a way that I feel is somehow meaningful. And then again, when I had the surgery, realizing that, oh my goodness, this isn't a given.
It
can be taken away. So, you know, better make the most of it.
So, Greta, while you're in the hospital recovering from the surgery that you had, do you in your mind have a backup plan? Oh gosh, if I can't continue on this career that I've now fallen in love with.
Got a psychology major.
Was that always the plan? Was that ever a career? I imagine you were drawn to psychology for another reason.
Actually, kind of the same reason, like the whole connecting with people thing.
Yeah.
It all comes back to the same thing. And my goal moving forward has always been to integrate the two.
Yeah.
And to have both of them as sort of two sides of the one communication coin, in a way.
Yeah. Were you fearful that you would lose your voice and have to have another plan?
Not so much. I wasn't really fearful in terms of having another plan. I just thought, well, I'll have to find another way of engaging with music, because all of a sudden I realised it was actually the conversations with people about music that I'd miss the most. As long as I could sing in the shower, I'd be okay. If I couldn't sing at all, I would be
obsessed with the shower, this one.
I am, evidently. Well, not just the shower, but when I'm cooking or when I'm walking down the street or basically constantly when I'm not talking to people, I'm singing.
I like the idea that, I don't know how old your children are now, so they must be...
They're 11 and 8.
I was going to say 10, yeah. Mm. So they're at that age where it's, oh, Mum. So even though you have this great talent, if you built one out at home, are they like...
They're pretty good at putting up with it now, because they sort of, it's like white noise. They just don't even notice. The funny thing is, though, that because my oldest boy is really into sort of gaming music and you know, the really annoying YouTube, well, I find them annoying YouTube stars with their music, and the younger one more classical music, but they both can't help themselves. They walk around the house without even realising it, singing songs from the album.
Really?
Yeah. which is super
in.
Cute. Yep, sucked into
that
them.
That is very cute. They love their mum. That's
get
good.
Get that on YouTube straight away.
Yes.
That's what they're going to love.
Now, you've got a tour coming up in June, July this year.
I do, yeah.
Locally, well, you know, sort of not internationally, around the traps.
Correct, around
playing
Australia.
Playing all churches?
Almost all churches,
yeah. I was going through your gig list and at church, and I thought, what a fantastic...
Are we touring this album?
Yes.
Okay, great.
Touring the album.
Are you
home?
Dragging the entire Adelaide Symphony Orchestra along with you?
Well, I offered them a spot in my suitcase, but they declined.
I mean, just before we get to the tour, how was that experience? Because you sang live with them. It's not like they pre-recorded and you laid
the
voice track.
Yeah, the recording process for an album like this is we all, you know, head in there together. It's very live. So what you hear on the album is literally a take that, you know, Phil Rowlands, my amazing sound engineer, he sort of, you know, gets all of the microphones ready and then presses record, and we do a number of takes straight through and then we move on. But in St. Peter's Cathedral, which is a really meaningful place for me both musically and personally, both my dad's parents had memorial services in the cathedral, and I sang at those services and I've performed lots of music there. It was a very meaningful location for me, but also Adelaide Chamber Singers, my old choir. I sang with them until I left Adelaide in 2010 when I finished uni. So it was a really meaningful kind of experience. But no, they're not coming on tour with me. Kate Johnson, who's a fabulous pianist based up in Sydney, she's coming with me around the country.
Great. So just voice and piano.
Voice and piano.
Brilliant.
Because when I was looking at the locations, I thought, oh, are all churches great acoustically?
Well, yes.
Are all churches created equally in terms of, you know, giving great quality sound? Or, you know, is that not a true thing? But given they're all churches, I thought, maybe that...
I think the question, do they all have awesome acoustics? I would say yes. Are they all created equally? I'd say no. Like, acoustically speaking, you know, some are better than others, but they honestly, you know, with candles and flowers and this extraordinary music that just kind of transcends time, space, generation, it's just an absolute joy bringing this kind of repertoire to those locations with piano.
Yeah, someone with an amazing voice in churches, it's so unforgiving. If you've got a pretty average voice, you're going to get found out in a church, aren't you? Generally.
Yep. No.
I've got an entire family that got found out in the Uniting Church in Hyatt in the 70s.
Do you know, I would disagree, to be honest. I'd disagree.
You're allowed
I think
to do that.
That
Turn a mark off, thanks.
Yeah, Lisa, I reckon that, you know, churches and the acoustics that they afford, you know, they were built with the human voice in mind.
Right,
you know,
so I could sing in a church.
Totally.
Maybe.
Absolutely.
Not frightening people.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think, well, I don't know, because I used to sing in a choir also, not a soprano, can you tell? And we sang at many, many churches. And I remember speaking to an Anglican minister, do you call them ministers, bishop, preacher? He said, oh, the Methodists can't sing. And they've got their sort of high and mighties about the Catholics are rowdy, the Anglicans can really sing, and you know, it's sort of that idea that there's even within churches that kind of...
Yeah.
Anyway, did you have a religious upbringing?
I didn't, no.
So I guess the thing is, if you've got a voice like yours and you're classically trained, much of the beautiful music historically has been written for and about the Lord, right?
So yeah, absolutely.
So religious songs are pretty much your repertoire because that is what you got.
Yeah, well, you know, there's a fair bit of, secular classical music as well, and in fact a lot on the album is secular as well as the sacred. So there are the folk songs, which are of course a wonderful sort of, you know, things like Aaron Copland, his work Simple Gifts, which is just a celebration of the simple things in life, which I love. I'm all about the simple things in life, but yeah, at the same time there is this sacred element as well. And I know for me, you know, as someone who, for me, my experience of churches growing up was with music and around music, and that's, you know, that's what they are for me. But at the same time, knowing that there is so much meaning bound up in these places for people is something that's really extraordinarily, you know, it adds another dimension, which is just lovely. And all the conversations that I have with audience members after these shows, because I always have a chat with pretty much everyone sticks around and we all have a chat.
Plug some merch.
Greta Bradman t-shirts. That's right. But it's, well, no. But, you know, it's all about those conversations for me. Love it.
Yeah.
If you have just joined us, we're chatting with Greta Bradman, who is a soprano and has just released her fourth studio album, Greta Bradman Home, which is on sale now through Decca. And you can, presumably you can buy it on iTunes and where all good music
is. You can get it on the website. I checked it out today. GretaBradman.com. And you can buy tickets to the show. It's coming
up. It's already up
June,
on Spotify.
July.
I checked that out. Yeah, and you've got a live tour coming up. And we can go to your website, presumably, to check out the details
indeed,
of that.
Yeah.
I would like to play you out on a song. This is one that captured my imagination off the album. In further reading, I've realised that it is written by your very own grandfather. I love this song because... So what year would he have written this? Is this a 30s song?
Yeah, he wrote it in 28. It was published in 30. He was in his young, you know, in his early 20s at the time. Deeply in love, of course.
It is so romantic.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? It's for my grandma, you know, and she was kind of the rainbow in his sky.
He was someone who married already by then?
No, he wasn't, but he was with her. And then, of course, they went on to have this amazing lifelong partnership together.
I think the thing about the music of the, particularly the between war years and certainly in World War II times, is it so freaking jolly at the most dark time. Like this idea that we're producing this really, really upbeat, jolly, terribly in love, it all seemed very...
You know, it's amazing. And you know, the thing with Grandpa is that he was a, you know, I think that he did worry, and he was a bit of a warrior. Mm. And that's not warrior, that's worry, yes. And I think that this song, in a way, has a lightness to it, which is just so charming to, you know, to get him at a point in his life where he was so carefree and so focused on that young love that he had with Jessie, who, of course, you know, went on to become the mother of his children and his life partner. And that idea that, you know, there can be dark clouds around, but as long as she was there, everything was okay. And that was so true throughout his life, that held true.
Yeah, it's very much the spirit of that generation, I think, that, well, we've seen the worst of what the world can throw at us. Let's just make beautiful things and hope it all gets better. Mm-hmm. And I like that. This is Greta Bradman singing a song written by her father, Donald Bradman, as he was then, now known to us as Sir Donald, Grandfather. Mm-hmm. And Greta, thanks so much as I play it. Thanks so much for coming in, and all the very best of luck with your new album, Home, and your upcoming tour. And thanks for joining Dan and Mason on Joy.
Thanks so much for having me.
Cheers.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.